All right, we are back on Talkin' Baseball, Giants and the Cardinals coming up here on The Sports Leader alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it is a pleasure to welcome in a regular guest of the show, friend of mine, Katie Wu. She covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. Katie, how are you?
Kerry, how are you? Hopefully enjoying this incredible series of baseball we have between the Giants and Cardinals.
Yeah, this is great stuff. I mean, I know you know growing up in the Bay Area, growing up in Vacaville, that Giants and Cardinals, this has been a rivalry for seemingly our whole lives. And this year we saw the four-game series at Oracle Park split 2-2, both teams with a chance to win this series right now. This is good old-school baseball, and I know that, you know, you and I are of the analytics era, we're of the new school era, but it feels like these two teams have such a great intertwined history together, and anytime they get together, it's just fun.
I completely agree. Growing up, I always thought of the Cardinals as the nemesis of October, because no matter what, it seemed like the Giants and Cardinals were playing each other in the most important and pivotal games of, at that point, Kerry, it felt like our lives, right? As being children growing up in the Bay Area and playoff baseball meaning that much to us. But it always is fun when these two teams match up against each other, for sure.
So tell me a little bit about the Cardinals right now. They've changed their rotation for the weekend. Adam Wainwright coming back off of the COVID list. Steven Matz was moved up to not face the San Francisco Giants. What's going through Ollie Marmol's head, and why was he so specific in what he was doing? Was it just really about getting Adam Wainwright to start this weekend?
Yes, that was exactly it. You know, the Cardinals have the utmost faith in Adam Wainwright, and attempts he takes the mound, the Cardinals are very confident about their chance to win that game, and yet also hadn't pitched in a while, being on the COVID list. So they wanted him back as soon as possible. He threw a bullpen on Thursday when he was cleared. It was a surprise to everyone. We were outside in the dugout doing the Ollie Marmol's pregame scrum, and out came Adam Wainwright in full uniform as we were talking about him. And Ollie said, well, I guess he's cleared. So once they figured that out, it was pretty easy to pencil him in for the weekend. Obviously, they don't want to go too long without their ace taking the mound. Also, I'm sure Steven Matz did not really want to face the Giants for a second time in a week, considering how it went the first time. 8 earned runs, a career high in just 2 innings. So I'm sure that played into the decision as well.
Yeah, that Giants right-handed lineup has looked better than I expected this season. They certainly took it to Matz last weekend, getting back on track. They started their win streak against Steven Matz and the Cardinals on Saturday last weekend at Oracle Park. And one of the interesting things that happened last Saturday at Oracle Park, Katie, aside from, you know, the Giants honoring Buster Posey, having Buster Posey Day, the next day they acknowledged Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols. And I thought that was something that was really cool. The Giants were the first organization to acknowledge these outgoing Cardinals who are retiring this year. Just tremendous careers. Yadi's been doing it at the catcher position for as long as I've been alive. Albert Pujols, it feels like I can't remember a day of baseball without him in it. Did they say anything about what that may have meant to them and just to see the rest of baseball kind of rally around their careers? What do you think that that'll be like for the remainder of the season?
You know, Kerry, I'm glad you brought that up. They didn't say anything specifically about it, but you could tell it meant so much to them in the moment. And I was surprised, not necessarily that the Giants did it. I feel like the Giants are one of the top organizations in all of professional sports when it comes to honoring greatness. That doesn't even apply to their own team, obviously. But it was surprising to me that the Giants were the first team to do it. I mean, the Cardinals had multiple away series, obviously. So to see the Giants give their respect and give credit and have a moment of appreciation for Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols as they both end their remarkable careers this year meant a lot to them, and it meant a lot, I think, to the team. Those two guys, even with Albert just coming back this year, mean so much to the organization, mean so much to the clubhouse. They're instrumental in all of the young guys, because the Cardinals, I know we get so caught up in Yadi and Albert and Adam and the old guys, I should say, leading the club, but they do have such young, enticing talent coming up. Yadi and Albert are right there in shaping them and being instrumental forces. So very cool for what the Giants did over the weekend. I hope more teams take the initiative to honor two of these greats. I mean, they've really set their mark in baseball. And I don't know we'll see two talents like this ever again.
Yeah, it's a really cool dynamic that the Cardinals have this year, because you've got Yadier Molina, you've got Adam Wainwright, Albert Pujols, guys who, like we said, it feels like they've been around forever for us. And I'm sure the same way for a younger generation of baseball fans as well. They've also got Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, guys who were in the NL West for a long time at the beginning of their careers. And Katie, they also have Ollie Marmol, the Major League's youngest manager right now. How has he handled this Cardinals team to date? What kind of a contrast has he provided to Mike Schilt from last year? And what have you made of Ollie Marmol's first month plus on the job?
I love this question, Kerry, because I find it so interesting in what Ollie Marmol has done over the first 6 weeks of the season. The Cardinals, as you know, are a very uniform organization. The Cardinal way, they're very big on tradition. They're very big on defense. They have an identity that has followed them throughout the decades that they have played, obviously. But what we're seeing from Ali Marmol is a blend of an appreciation for that history, for the tradition, for the way the Cardinals go out and do their job. I mean, he rose to the organizations as a player and a coach. He obviously understands the importance. But he's also embracing a little bit of modern-day analytics. And you're seeing a lot of things that we didn't necessarily see with teams prior based on the Cardinals. You're seeing a lot of roster fluidity. You're seeing a lot of lineup mix-ups. You're seeing a lot of matchups. You're seeing a lot of just what I think is good for the game. And just playing the matchups, using the analytics, but he's also doing it in a way that still honors the tradition of the Cardinals. It's been a nice mix-up. I mean, very rarely did the Cardinals ever change their starting lineup last year. I'm pretty sure I could go out and list like 30 games in my scorebook with the same lineup consecutively. That's not the case with Ali Marmol. He's not. If you're not performing, he'll be the first to drop you down, and he's also the first to tell you. I really appreciated the candidness that Ali brings in his media sessions, because whatever he's saying to us, he's already said to his clubhouse, he's already said to his players, and he's not afraid to be open and honest. And I think that just makes the whole process run so much smoother. So I am encouraged by what I've seen from Ali. I know it's still early, but this is a different way of Cardinals managing that we've seen over the last few seasons. And it's interesting to watch unfold.
Yeah, definitely. Any change or any transition from a manager, especially as stark contrast as Mike Schilt was to Ali Marmol, it's going to create headlines, it's going to create stories, it's going to create conversation. And so to get your perspective, I think, is really important on this. You're boots on the ground every day in St. Louis with the Cardinals. We love you here in the Bay Area, though, Katie. And so it's fun to have this conversation here on Talkin' Baseball. A few different Cardinal storylines that I wanted to touch on. The young kid, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Juan Yepez. I mean, he's been a sensation thus far for St. Louis. Tell us a little bit about his story and how he arrived in this Cardinals lineup.
Oh, what a breakout story for Juan Yepez. I mean, when you think about his story, he spent 8 years in the minor league system, was internationally drafted by the Braves when he was 16 out of Venezuela, left his parents behind, was traded to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals actually left him unprotected in the Rule 5 draft in 2020. And he somehow slid through the cracks and was able to remain with the organization. And that really set a fire under him. He was really upset about that. So what does he do? He comes out in 2021, has an unprecedented year offensively at the plate. Eventually is named the organization's co-minor league player of the year, makes the taxi squad for the 2021 wildcard game. And then over the last week has suddenly hit himself up to the cleanup spot for the Cardinals and looks to be a mainstay in the lineup. I mean, he's just been incredible. And when you think about his story, like I mentioned, and you think about all the things he's gone through as a family, I mean, he hit his first career home run on Mother's Day at Oracle Park with his family in the stands. And the best thing about that story, Carrie, is that, I mean, it literally writes itself. He told his mom that he hopes he hits a home run for her today because they hadn't spent Mother's Day together in 8 years. So he's the very first one to the deepest part of Oracle Park. It was a no-doubter. Just an incredible story for Juan Yepez. It's been interesting to see how he's come in and kind of taken his position. I mean, he's a right-handed DH, but he can also play corner outfield. Cardinals are finding a way to make him play in the everyday lineup because they can't afford to take him out. He's had some of the best quality at-bats on the team, and he's quickly turning into like a must-watch at-bat every single time he's at the plate. Really exciting young talent that I think is going to be here for a while.
Yeah, you did such a great job documenting that with the Mother's Day home run at Oracle Park. And I know the Giants fans didn't want to see it because it ultimately meant they were losing that game. But Giants came back to win, so gave them a thrill. And Juan Yepez, such a great story. Like you said, the Mother's Day home run after promising it to his mom. That's why we love sports. It's a really cool story, and I think it has national appeal. Just about every baseball fan can fall in love with that type of story. And you wrote a great one on The Athletic about that. Katie, before we let you go, question about the Cardinals shortstop position. Paul DeJong sent to AAA. Nolan Gorman is just tearing apart AAA right now in the minor leagues. When will the Cardinals' top prospect come up to the majors, and what are they doing at the shortstop position right now?
Aren't those the $2 million questions, Carrie? I mean,
I'm sure you never get asked in St. Louis, so I figured I'd do it here.
Never. It's interesting, of course, Paul DeJong starting shortstop for the Cardinals over the last 5 years as a 2019 All-Star just really has not been able to find anything offensively over the last 2.5 seasons. And the Cardinals are really patient about Paul DeJong. 2020, he had a really bad experience with COVID. 2021, he took a pitch to the ribs and broke it. They wanted to give him as much of a chance as possible in 2022, but ultimately, I mean, the starts, I mean, he was hitting 130 over the first 6 weeks of the season. They had no choice in optioning him down. that did, of course, make a little bit of a frenzy for who's going to fill the shortstop position, as I imagine it's going to be at least a little bit longer before the Cardinals call up Nolan Gorman, not for lack of performance, but because both president of operations John Mozeliak and manager Ollie Marmol have said specifically, when this organization calls up Nolan Gorman, he is going to play every day. He's not coming in with the intention of being a fill-in spot that, you know, oh, get your feet wet, we'll send you back down, keep working on it. When St. Louis calls up Nolan Gorman, he is here to stay. He's a left-handed power hitter, can play a little bit of second base after being predominantly a third baseman his whole career. But, of course, Nolan Arenado seems to have that position locked down for a little bit. So the Cardinals would like to see a little bit more of the defense at second base, make sure that he's comfortable because he is going to have to play a little bit of second base when he gets up here. But they're hesitant to bring him up until he's truly ready because they expect him to be an immediate impact in that lineup. That means that they're kind of experiencing with their shortstop options. Brendan Donovan is another up-and-coming prospect. We've seen him start there the last three games. And Edmundo Sosa is a reserve utility. And then they have 2021 Gold Glove winner at second base, Tommy Edman, who could slot to shortstop as well. So lots of different components there.
Yeah, I'll say it. I have the utmost respect for John Mozeliak and the utmost respect for Ollie Marmol. But what I see from Nolan Gorman in the minors right now, I can't wait to see him in the major leagues. And I think the Giants are fortunate that he is not on the roster this weekend because this kid's going to tear it up, Katie.
I completely agree, Kerry. He's really going to light up that city.
Good stuff. Katie Wu of The Athletic, thank you so much for joining us here on Talkin' Baseball. We always appreciate it.
Kerry, love coming on. All the best. We'll talk soon.
All right. She is the best. Katie Wu of The Athletic. More coming up next. Mark Simon on the other side. Giants pregame show. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.